This morning I'm turning to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, I'll read verse 17 to 18. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And this morning I want us to be thinking about living without spiritual light. Living without spiritual light. And the passage where we have these two verses from, Apostle Paul was encouraging the Ephesian Christians to live up to their calling. As they have been saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, they trusted Him, they put their hope in Him for salvation and for life. And then he reminds them that salvation comes with responsibilities, a life worthy of their new life. So he encourages them to live worthy of their new life in Christ, so that to show in their heart and manner of life the holy duties that accompany salvation. And okay, you see, especially if you want to say, Abrabo, and I say, and qua, any sunsum, and I say, any sunsum, Abrabo, and I say, and qua, and qua, and fin and coupon, Abrabo, and qua, and come. And I make us say, baby, I fire semi fee, not Apostle Paul, or sure, let's take on my official for. Now, I say, not or sure, moon cry, say. Omo mbo abrabo a ni omo so ma ja tun so ma ba Kristo nche me ajo mo nkwa no eni no efa na na o cheche mbe si ma abrabo a o so mo bo ko na efa sa asemu fi na o na so o show mo o encourage mo so mo ko so mo sa abrabo. But however, the description he gave to those who walk who do not have the life of God, who walk as the Gentiles, like as the worldly walk, and who are without the life of God, it's a description of all sinners whose heart has not been changed. All sinners whose lifestyles are against the ways of God. And such is the life Apostle Paul exhorts the believers to cease from or turn away from. And you know that as this description he gave, it also gives us a life without God. A life without the life that God gives to His people in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this description tells us those who live in this world without any true relationship with God. And in that sense, we say they don't have any spiritual life. The life we have, the temporal life we have, like the life of animals, this one day we'll lose it. But then there's going to be a life after this life, which all will live, whether those who are God's people or not. But some will go into a life that is of happiness, and that there will be no sin and pain. And others will go into damnation. They will live, and yet they will live in a life of damnation, whereby they will be separated from God forever, and they will live without any life support, the blessings of life. So Apostle Paul is telling people not to live in that life where those who don't know God live. The Apostle Paul, what can he say? Ma, this to phone, and Bob Brown, as someone is not someone in Yam Coupon. In America, in church, one or church, and next year, Messi, my own, we are see our moon in Yam Coupon, and Quan, as almost Yam Coupon Giomo, all Momo, and quite where you used to move my head down, quite I, any Jim Quan Dachi, or more work used to Munomo, our continuum of many energy. Now, all we are so, and quite all we are see the Dachi in your battery. Nebet Yeshrea, a better for trans da Nasa at Transadano, a be better more more than four pound and quan, or more better than us or any gym, and only on a better, no more any sa, Yanko Pong, no better than us or when you hear me, and a real war, and a Munya Yanko Pong, a mobile who be our sa or pine. Now, because I'm for the extra near only Yanko Pong, and that's only soon soon. And the picture it gives us is simply a person who is living a life of sin in rebellion against God, with no fear of dishonoring God in desire, in thought, in speech, and in action. So I'm going to spiritual life, a life which comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And interestingly, all those who don't have the life of God in them are not Christians. But interestingly, these days people call themselves Christians without knowing of this life. Many people think that just by reciting a sinner's prayer and being part of a church and calling yourself a Christian means you're a Christian. No. Those who are Christians are those who have been given this life, which has made them to realize that they are in sin and that they've repented. And that they put their faith in Christ. And God has given them this life that they're able to love Him and obey Him and live for Him. These are called Christians. Through Jesus Christ, they come to know God. But if I'm a brave from what I'm a Christian, and so, in fact, it's a great delusion to live in that way, to be ignorant of this spiritual life in Christ, and just to still to think that you're a Christian. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave warning to such people in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21-23. He says that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in thy name, in thy name have we cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. So because the minimum of you song for moi Mumbasa Muy Major our washro nashadi. So you see that to be a Christian it's not just by name. It comes with you are giving something and you are supposed to leave out something to show that you are a Christian. So because I say a treasure is a way we Christiania, a treasure, your mouth baby, I'm out there class at not actress. And this warning was not to people who are not just disciples, it was to his own disciples. Because the disciples that were following the Lord Jesus, even remember Judas himself was not a safe person. So this warning was to his disciples, and this warning is to everyone at least who goes to church in our day. That's how we would say. Because everyone who goes to jail will think that he's a Christian and he follows the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many people take this warning seriously? How many people think of it as a serious matter that I'm a Christian? And according to the scripture, am I living or do I have what it takes to be a Christian? It's a warning that one day come, but the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever he has said, will come and pass. That those who claim to be Christians but have no evidence of Christ living in them, they will be cast away. Those will be part of those who never attended any church. They will be treated as those who are worshipping idols. publicly, as we say over there, for this people, they don't worship, they don't go to church or whatever. They will be classified as them. Because they that ye depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So this is a serious matter. To think that I'm a Christian and yet I don't have the life of God in me. The spiritual life which will make me to live up to God and to know Him. And I always say and remind people that salvation is from sin and not from intellectual defects or material poverty. Nowadays, people think that when we talk of salvation, it's about, normally they think of, oh, Africa, we are intellectually, we are not doing as the Europeans and other things, so it's because maybe we are cursed. No, that is not a fact. Salvation is from sin and not from ignorance of economics, mathematics, or whatever. It's from sin. And it's not from maybe where I come from, my background. I mean, there's some ancestral curses, so I'm not able to do well. No, salvation is from sin. The power of Satan, which deceives us to sin, and a sinful heart in us, and also the world influence on us so that we disobey God. This is what God saves us from. It gives us power to overcome. So if churchgoers, all churchgoers knew this, that salvation is from sin, I'm sure many will not sleep till they have found that they have freedom from sin by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nipa bebra ekwa asore, nsore bebre, so munim se, a omo yekire omo na magia tum se, nkwa je eye efibone ho. Ah, ka me sure se nipa bebre, omo nda, ofem bro mo ho se, omo nya fa ho die efibone ho, na omo de omo rea to Jesus Christ so so hwe ni moja go Calvary. If you say, so when we rea Jesus Christ mo a, aho to ene, ene da so a wunya no. Be e jumi describe. It's a freedom that can never be described with words. Every true believer knows this. First Peter 1, Peter tells us, referring to what has happened to believers, so that whom having not seen, that they've not seen the Lord Jesus Christ, ye love so that you came to trust, in whom true now, in whom though now, ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is what we are talking about. It's a joy that the world doesn't know. To have Christ in your heart, to know that my sins are forgiven, that in the time of judgment, I will not be condemned. That when Christ comes, I will be with those that are going to live with God forever. Nothing in this world can describe such joy. But all those who have come to know this, know it in their heart. So that whatever happens to them in this world, they don't care. That's why if you read church history, Christians were willing to die for Christ. And today, if people have this joy in their hearts, I'm sure many corruptions we see in this world will come down. But many people call themselves Christian, but this joy is not. So it's a great freedom. It's a great thing to have that freedom from sin when anyone comes and trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. The can say, I hope to have you to infant some cry the end church. I'm so BBI, what Jesus is the assistant of Kuma, or I will put up on a factory home, and fast one, and you side you. And now Peter, or can't see a crystal for himself. And it's a young to me a day, end church. And that is it. So now come to my text, and I'll include the two verses. And I read again. This I say, therefore, verse 17, 18. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. So in these two texts, I will pick out two descriptions of those without spiritual life for us to see. It is in the text. That's what Apostle. Although he's telling the Christian not to live that life, but that his description of that life show us what those who live in sin, how their state is, or how their state is. So the first thing is, it says that as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. The first mark of those without spiritual life is they live according to their own imaginations. They wake up and think and act. They don't care whether it goes against the Lord or not. As we live in this country, I'm sure everybody who want to live as a good citizen, act according to the constitution. In driving, you cannot drive opposite side. You have to drive as in some countries. They drive other side. The guy will drive on the other side. So you cannot come here and say, "For me, I like to drive this way." You'll be caught. You'll be found. I mean, the law will catch you. But what about us and God? Do we think God has rules for us? That he has a manual for life that we have to look out for? Many people don't think. They just wake up, they have life, they think of what they have to do. That's all. But the American said, they did kind of possible train. Omo a enisa, humu ab enkwanya nasa brabwa. Humu enkwanya kwa demaye. I say, Oma jimunu, hubu. Hubu Oma jimunu. And I'm saying, hubu ne chese, nipa sorry, nipa o sorry ya. The old day, no person way. On Christmas Day, I may answer the person may because you. I'm going to answer the answer. That is one picture. But let me ask you, is it reasonable to think that God made us and just created us so that we just live for ourselves? Is it, it's not reasonable. If God created that, he had a purpose for us. So, you didn't say, I'm going to go to the boy. I'm going to go to the boy. I mean, even parents who give birth to children. Though the children, God who gave them, but yeah, they have purpose for their children, and they want the way their children want to become. If they are Christian, they want them to become Christian. If they are not Christian, they want them to become whatever life they want. But think of God as the Father of life. Does He have purpose for us, or would I admire now? And yet, people don't say this that they want to live according to their imagination, but they act it. That's how it's amazing. People don't say, but the actions of people tells us or tell you that they are living according to their own imaginations. Well, they don't care what God has said. You know, it is by this vanity of mind that in our ancestors and even today, those who worship idols, it is out of this vanity of mind. You go to Romans chapter 1, Apostle Paul elaborated on it. How people, when they thought there should be a God, they just imagine how God should be. He should be a creator. It should be a stone. It should be the sun. It should be the moon. It should be the bed. And then this is the vanity. So people just imagine how God should be. No, we cannot imagine how God should be or how God wants us to be, except we learn from His word. So those with this vanity of mind, they think such. So you see the idolatry of what traditional worshippers, as we say for them, they worship physical idols. And there are many also who worship money, pleasure, and fame, and possession in our time. Many today don't go and bow down to physical idols. But money is their God. Take their money, their life is gone. Take their worldly entertainment and pleasure, their life is gone. Take maybe, try to let them, tell them maybe, they should do something which will cut off maybe some advantages in the world for them. They are off. I mean, their life becomes miserable. Fame. People are chasing fame and they put on their eyes and they may call themselves Christians. Ebimo, abo pesa ajehu kwe, ena ma nipa ebimo suma abo suma kuni ya umudi siwa esu. Na mse, ya wa huli nisu ebimo su, omu sum sika. Enye nije, ene so mubaye popla uwi asimu. Anazo mubinja enyo ma awa asatisu. Se uji sa nyo mefi omu wa, mabra base. Omu di umenya tu sa nyo ma esu. Eno so, ayye, ajinu wa, ayye kukuo nuntia. It's a vanity of mind that made people to think that having this world is enough. God did not create us for this world. He made us for a better world to come. You see, but people think that having this world is vanity of mind. When you see people who are living like this, trusting in things and putting their hopes in this world, they tell to their mind is vain and that they don't have the life of God in them. So love and trust in things is a hindrance to God's gracious dealings with us. When we love things and give ourselves to things and trust them, when trouble comes, we look at our money or we look at how we can solve it in our own way without considering the ways of God. It's a vanity of mind. It's a mind that does not submit to the ways of God. In Prophet Ezekiel's time, when they were in captivity, Israel was in captivity, some elders came and sat before him, and they seemed to inquire from God. And that's the purpose they came. And Ezekiel didn't know. But go to Ezekiel in chapter 14, verse 3, said that this man who have come to inquire me from you, this man have set up their idols in their hearts and put a stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? They came, oh yes, want to ask. I mean, God's mind concerns our state. And yet God says they have their idols in their heart. The thing they love above God, it was in their heart, and yet they want to inquire about God. This is the attitude of those with their mind. Until this vanity is clear from our mind, we can never even see God with a right mind. We go to church or whatever with a wrong motive, seeking things to please ourselves. So these people were coming, they came to the prophet to inquire of God, but yet they've set their idols in their heart. They've despised God in their heart, and yet they want God's guidance for them. It's a hindrance. And far from this, it also makes sinners reject God's invitation for us to come and be reconciled with Him. So they are going to say, "Daniel, all friends say, 'But you mean no abba, ni abba abba.' Because they are born here, see if you know. So I dream who you know, a tear, a manipa pusa, and a friend who come friend." In Jeremiah time also, God also spoke about people in this way. He told Jeremiah, "These evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imaginations of their hearts, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this gathering which is good for nothing." Also, some of you are among I do my I see my dreams. I'm going to hear myself. Ah, I'm going to answer. I'm going to say my dream. Ah, I'm going to So that's how God sees anyone who will not take Him serious. You are also nothing before God. If I have set idols, love of money, love of things in my heart, God will never be reconciled to me. God will never have anything to do with me. So if I'm coming to God, my heart will be clear that I want Him to bless me. But it is this vanity in people's mind. It is this vanity in people's mind that stands in the way. So you see, it is a mark of corruption in the mind of the sinner. And as foolish people imagine that they will obtain help from things that they can control. How can things, money that you can control, be the one you trust, or something you trust? Or how can your possession that you can change be that you have your trust in this world? It's folly. That the thing that I have produced, or I have made, are the thing that is keeping me in this world. It's interesting, but that's what many people do. The thing they have control over is their God. While they distrust God who give them life and sustain them. So if I have done more to see can and your muscle. And your mama will go to me, one of my brain when you see can answer when your mama will answer a DB our winner. And I don't have to say, no, I could do what I see. So. And Brian, you put on no more, and your mama, I'm going to come out to the person, your mama. Put not much to change. It doesn't make sense. But that is what this vanity makes people do in this world. Sir, I dream who you say away a mono. If you're born, then the money for your bread. Again, sir. I see a power I'm calling. You see a paper side way for. So we see that the vanity of mind causes many things that they can say or act anyhow, but when they are called into question, they can use lies to defend themselves. Lying is the liar's god. Because he trusts in lies to deliver him when he is in or she is in trouble. So you see how this vanity has worked on people's minds. A liar will never trust in God. This honesty is a God at hand for the liar. Whenever it's like a military man that is attacked, what is his protection? His gun. He may pick his gun and fire. So the liar also what? Trust in the lies. But if I trust in God and He is my God, I will say the truth and bear the consequence. But the vanity in our mind, if this vanity is not clear, we will trust in lies and never trust in the God who has given us life. Again, this vanity of mind makes people to create their own gods which offer them false hopes. How people are living in this life, they make things and then they trust in them, it gives false hope. Ask yourself by experience, what can really support life in this world? If God should allow, if God should take those things away, our very lives can be taken away, the things we have procured or the things we have put our trust in can be destroyed by something else. As recently the earthquake in Turkey, I heard they said that somebody who was so rich became poor in a second. So you see that the things in this world
cannot hold anyone. But that is what people put there. Day after day, from Monday to Saturday, people going to work and everything. Yes, we are working to sustain ourselves. But how many have put their trust in their work, in their income, and in their possessions? That is what is the work God created us to work. It's not bad to work and to earn sustenance. But because this vanity, people rather trust in work and the benefit you get from it. So this is the vanity of mine. Again, in a master in your mind. So people put their trust in this thing that give them false hopes, why they forget God, to seek after God who made and sustained them, God who gave us life. Isn't what I mean? So much thing that God has made me and give me life, and yes, I should give my love and my time and trust in things. It doesn't add up if we should sit down and think of it properly. So it makes sinners careless of even of their own sin before God. They think that God is not real. This vanity of man makes sinners think that, oh yes, God is there, but for my sin, I don't think God takes so much account of it. So that I don't care if I continue my sin. Before you bless the argument, you say, Mom, you've been said, I'm going to cry and I'll give you. You say, I'm going to cry over. On things you can say, I'm going to cry, which may be on the corner. So it is by this vanity that people can live in sin and don't care. Because their mind is vain. Their mind is filled with vanity. The psalmist tells us that, like a person who had this vanity of mind, he has said in his heart, God has forgotten, he hides his face, he will never see it. A sinner who doesn't know that God, he's responsible to God for every sin he commits. Yes, he believes God is there somehow on the surface, but in his heart, God has forgotten whatever he has done. God has, today I sinned, okay, I'm very sorry. The next day, 2, 3, 1 week, the sin has been robbed. No, God never forgets anything. But the vanity of mind causes people to think that God has forgotten. So many are deceived in this by this corruption of mind, and they will never sincerely repent of sin. They will never sit down and recount how their life has been before God. They will never seek repentance, and that they will reconcile to God. So you see that this vanity is working harm against millions of people, because they cannot conceive the reality of God. They cannot really think of repentance. Well, God will grieve them, that forgiveness of sin. So I come to my second description that he gives us. Verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. This is another description of those who live in sin without the spiritual life which God gives us, without the life of God in them. So the description here is that those without spiritual life, here it says that their inability to perceive or understand God's truth. Their first one was the vanity of which they think and do what they feel. But this one, even the word of God, they don't have the capacity to understand it and see that it is something to be believed. This is another cause of being without the life of God. You cannot take the things of God. As we are told in 1 Corinthians that the things of God are spiritually discerned, so that those in canal with fleshly mind can never discern it. So it's another description of those that are the life of God. Why is this so? Why are we alienated from God through the ignorance that is in us? This is because by our natural birth, sin has robbed every person of that spiritual life which God gave to Adam. When God made Adam initially, God could come and speak with him. God could deal with him without any intermediary. He was a friend of God. He received instruction from God immediately. But then after the fall, what happened? Adam could not even stand before God. As the Romans tells us that, for all have sinned and come short of that glory God gave to man. That life, that spiritual life God gave to man, had that glory that man could live with God. Even in that state where Adam was in probation, that Adam could live with God and God can speak to him directly. Remember when God was giving the law to Moses on Mount Sinai, the people said that when they heard the voice of God, they were afraid. They could not hear. The sound was like a loud speaker. They cannot bear it. Even when God be allowed them to hear, they said, no, Moses, hear, listen, and bring that to us. You see that this sinful nature of us. It has robbed us of that spiritual life. Adam had it. We lost it in him. And now all of us, we live, we are born, we run away from God. Such life was glorious and holy. It was capable of knowing God and having communion with him. Star and Pana Adam tree, ne wo nyunyam e kron krona ne wo tumi se tumu nyankopon ne san so any ninya and kita hodie, so that it was just a blessing to have. So by the laws of this spiritual life, all descendants of Adam from the womb live a life of sin, separated from God. Everyone who comes to this world after Adam has become a sinner. We are separated from God. We are told that the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. I said, the boy, you know, if you're from Nangasano, na waira. No, I shall see the Achan. So that is how we are. We are sinners. Sin has brought this darkness and understanding. It has separated us from God, so that from our birth, we cannot know God. There's no one who naturally knows God. No, no one knows God as he ought to know. That is what we call, total depravity. That's where it comes from. It's not that we cannot learn science or math or economics. It's about we cannot know God as he is, according as he has revealed himself to us in his word. So through the ignorance that is in them. Spiritual separation from God is by being ignorant of him. How? I know God, but do you know the ways of God? I know God, but do you know who God is? Do you know how God likes? You don't know God. Until I know this, and this knowledge, people can also even tell you about who God is, all his attributes and everything, but does those things have impact on their life? Because it's worthless to have to know something which doesn't have any practical application to you. So ignorance of who God is, his holiness, how God hates every sin. So it's so that if I know him really, I will never love sin. Ignorance of that God can only deal with that in kindness. That God doesn't owe us anything. He made all things. And our being doesn't add anything to God's glory. Before God created the whole world, he was still perfect. Before anything came into being, he was God, by God himself. But people think that, God needs us. God doesn't need us. He deals with that in kindness. Why should he send his son to come and die? Out of love. And yet people say that God needs us. We need God. His justice. People also always think of the love of God. They forgot that God is God of justice. God of justice. God is love to his people. Those that have been reconciled to him. Those that are his children. Those that he has removed this hindrance of sin from them. He is a father to them. But those that are against him will never come to him and seek this forgiveness of sin from him. He is a judge to them. His justice stands upon them. I also, the Bible calls them the children of wrath. Until we are saved from our sinful nature, we are children of wrath. It doesn't matter our status and our being in this world, whether we are religious or not. So long as this vanity of mind and this darkened understanding, our separation of God is not taken away. Where we can know God as he is and fear him and live, and his being and his works and ways have such impact on us to live a life that is pleasing to him. We only live under him as our judge. Because Bible tells those who are in Christ, there's no condemnation for us. At the day of judgment, if I'm Christ and I've lived for him, I will not be judged. I go to, happiness. But the one who never knew Christ, who never lived for Christ, who never trusted in him for salvation, who never experienced this renewal of the Spirit, God will be your judge, and he will be a judge too, even when you are in hell. So that's what it is. So that the ignorance of God, who God is, his works and his ways, and the duties he requires from us. If I know God, then I should know how what He requires of me as His creature, or as His son, if I become His child through Jesus Christ. But do people who say they know God know this? No, if we don't, we have not come to this realization. We don't know God. And it's because the understanding is darkened. There's darkness. We cannot perceive truth. God, the truth of God will expose us, our sins and our ignorance, and it will show, oh, God is Almighty God. He's not just who has written. He's the one that I am responsible to in every word I say, every thought, every action. That is what we see, that when our blindness are taken away. So we say that also people are separated from God because of the blindness of their blindness of heart, means their heart is insensitive, unfeeling to spiritual truth. God's truth doesn't move them. Tell them of any truth, it doesn't move them. It's like you pour water on a stone. It doesn't get inside, just on the surface. If I am living a life of sin and the warnings of scripture and encouragement to come to Christ doesn't move me, oh, the Bible says what? There's what blindness in your heart. There's blindness. Assume a dream of woman. Ah, if he had the moon at the body. That is the picture. If I continue in sin, knowing the word of God, that this is what He says, I should rather cry to God that He should help me, so that I will see my sinfulness. That is our duty from Him. So you see that blindness, our insensitivity on feelings of spiritual truth. And this is caused by habitual indulgence in sin. See, when people love to continue in sin, it increases this darkness. You see, we are born with that darkness. But when people live in life and continue their life of sin, it piles this darkness, so the separation becomes bigger. It hardens the word blindness in the original means like how, let's say, if you use, let's say, your hands to do some manual work, then it becomes harder, then it goes up. Yes, that's the picture. Or you use some, maybe a skin to, like those, use the skin against something, so it becomes harder. That's the picture. That's what it says. So it tells you, you are making yourself tough against God. That's the picture. The blindness in heart. Have you seen any greedy person whoever adores contentment? When we are here, Nini Bradie, Nini Jisa, Gofo, Yomu, Ono, Ayemo. Nobody. A greedy person will never be happy with the virtue of contentment. That is it. He has been greedy. He doesn't see any vice in being greedy. That is the picture. What is the picture? So the hearts of unbelievers are so darkened by habitual indulgence in sin that they fail to believe realities of spirituality or holiness. When you tell them of anything of virtue, you know, it doesn't serve them. And the third thing that Satan also takes advantage of this darkness in our heart. And what? Deadens the mind of unbelievers. That's what the Bible says. You see, we have it, and Satan also helps us to deaden ourselves against God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4, the Bible tells us what? But if our God's foe be hate, it is hate to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, that is Satan, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If people will not come and trust in this testimony that God has given His Son, who came to die on the cross, people cannot see any delight in this. Tells you, apart from their own darkness, Satan is also finding their darkness. It's increasing their darkness. You see, this is why we always say that the trouble of us is not Satan making us not to prosper physically in life, or some ancestral sacrifice. No! How we can have salvation? While He will keep us happy in this world, enjoyable in this world, and not to think the world to come. This world is temporal, but He helps you that you live only for this temporal life, that you forget about eternity, and then it loses you, and you, there eternity comes. That is what Satan hates. Satan doesn't care if you have money or not, but he cares whether you are willing to come to Christ. Your sins will forgive you. Whether you want to have that liberty from Him, so that He cannot control your mind to let you disobey God. You know, Satan, that was his ploy. When he came to deceive our first parents, his ploy was to let them see that God was hiding something from them, and which was a lie. And that's what he has continued to deceive all the children of Adam and Eve with this lie. So the gospel of Christ is hidden. That Christ has come to die for sin. It's said, but then for the mind and the heart to take it, oh, many don't have this capacity because sin and Satan is helping them. So Satan is always working to tighten sinners' dislike and ignorance of God's truth. He always, the Bible says, the Satan doesn't sleep. He's always moving about, seeking whom he may devour. That is work. So a sinner coming to God, finding means to put the hindrance there. You never see it. But if I should pray to God, God will help me. If I should call on him, the Spirit will help me. And this darkness, like the hymn we sing, let the darkness be dispelled. God, the grace of God is all powerful than whatever Satan can do. But people often, because the love of sin is in their heart, they don't delight in calling on God to help them. And even if they call, they don't. It's like somebody who is being hurt, but he doesn't feel. Maybe a drunkard who has fallen into a pit. Yes, he's sinking, he's still, but his call for help is faint because he doesn't feel it. But let the person who's not a drunkard be in a pit, you see the power he will call. That's the difference. So you see that the blindness of unbelievers is like the blind person, physical blind person, who cannot see the beauty of his environment. So the blindness, the spiritual blindness could not let the sinner see the beauty of spiritual realities, of forgiveness of sin, for life with God, and living that God smiles upon me, that I'm a child of God. They will never see it. So Satan takes advantage of this and works against it. I come to the conclusion of my speech. And let us remember that we will live forever after this life. We have a never-dying soul in us. This body will die one day, even as we continue to live in this world. But our souls doesn't die. Our souls do not die. It continues after this life. And let me ask you, do you desire to live in eternity separated from God or with God? It's a question to each one of us. Just look at the afflictions each one of us have endured in life. We all can recount how many times we have suffered in this life. All the afflictions of life because of sin, not actual particular sin maybe we have done, because sin is in this world. Even, you know, in this world, even if you have not done anything wrong, trouble can come to you. It doesn't matter whether you have done something wrong or not. Trouble can fall to you. Let's look at it. It's because there's sin in this world, and it shows our separation from God. And who desire to live in this in eternity, where this kind of affliction will increase. And you wish to live in eternity in sin, suffering forever? No. Each one of us should think again. Obiara in dream, you say, ah, abrabo mu haokra, yin yin yin, if you want. Na dachi ametina wafi bono, na ehao no betu asu, ah, yankupon se, obetkin huwefi muga. In this life, God, though we are separated from him, he gives us mercies. But in the life to come, there's no mercy from God to those who are separated. He said that if you go to 1 Thessalonians or 2nd, he said that they will be banished from God forever. It's a serious matter. This message will enjoy the air, food and the support of life. It will be taken away. We will have those who will be in heaven, they will have life without life support. They will live without all the comfort of life. You just imagine. If you have ever been on a sick bed in the hospital for a long time, those people realize what I'm trying to say. That they destroy everything. Tell them of money, what is money? Tell them of their children, what is their children? They will be wished to die. I remember there was a missionary I knew who died last year or so. When I saw that he was about to die, I saw the video. Before I knew how he was and how lovely he was. On his deathbed, he said he wanted to die because the pain was too much. See how that's not life. He despaired of everything. So let's think again of this matter and living eternity in such a state. If you live with God now or in eternity, there must be a change. If indeed you want to live with God even now or eternity, there must be a change. Because God cannot accept you in this state of things, in this vanity of mind, in this the darkness of... How can you obey God? How can you really submit yourself to him? There must be a change. Your vanity of mind that makes you love and trust other things must be taken away. The inability to perceive and believe God's truth and own it as something you have to believe and live by might be taken away.
the insensibility to damnation of sin, which makes you live in habitual sin. Because I don't feel my sin. That's why maybe I live in sin. That's why a sinner lives in sin, because he or she doesn't feel that sin is against God, and sin is working against his own damnation. These things might be what? Taken away. It might be cleansed. Your mind must be renewed by the Spirit. The Bible teaches that the Spirit renews our mind. He brings us to sanity. The mind must be renewed. It is his work to do. Your heart might be changed. The desires and the things you want for this life might be changed. There should be a tune in there. Your sins must be forgiven you. And how can it be done? How can it be done? The Bible tells us, this was why God sent his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to this world, to come and die on the cross. To suffer the shameful death on the cross. To be despised and rejected of men. It's all because God wants us to come to him, that he will take away this darkness from our heart, this vanity from our mind, and give us a right heart and a right mind, so we can know him and own him as our God. It is by this life that God brought Jesus Christ to this world. Look at how Apostle Paul speak about this gospel, the message of Christ, what it does. See that? To open their eyes, sinners' eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, from darkness of sin to the light of Christ, and from the power of Satan unto God. You see, sinners are under the power of Satan. From the power of Satan unto God. It's only the Bible that tells us. The word doesn't tell us sinners are under the power of Satan. Every sinner who cannot repent and come to God is under the power of Satan. God, the gospel turns them, the faith in the gospel turns them from this. That they may go out, receive, when he turns us from this power and from the darkness, what? That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. That's what the Bible says. We ought to be sanctified. We ought to be delivered. And this is the message of the gospel. And how preachers nowadays, many people don't preach this. They will tell people many nice stories. But this is our problem. That we shall be turned from sin and that our heart will go to God. So that the sacrificial death of Christ has obtained for everyone who repents and trusts in his death, this spiritual life, which by sin every one of us is lacking. Christ only who has sinned the other soul. A tossa, soon to my brabois, and you go for their mind. Sir, yet we near the air. Na, yet near, bonnet, a shame, yet we sacrifice again, near banning, ten years, so much. Thank you, no mind. That's what it is. We just have to come to you and repent and ask you to help us repent. God will give us this spiritual life. It is by this life only that God will live with us. Without spiritual life, God cannot live with anyone. Without spiritual life, God is separated from us forever. So faith in the death of Christ is the power that drives darkness from the sinner's heart. Faith in the death of Christ is the power that restores sanity to the mind, so that we can think aright in accordance with what God has said. But to conclude, may I ask you this question? Do you believe Christ died for your sin? Do you sincerely believe? Have you ever thought of that? Christ died for my sin. Not when we go to the stage, you ask people about Christ. Oh yes, Christ is the Savior. He came to die for the world. Most people do that. I ask them, do you believe that Christ died for your sin? Then you will laugh. It's interesting, many people don't consider, has Christ died for your sin? Have you gone to him? Do you believe that it was your place he stood when he was insulted and beaten by people who he has done nothing to? Do you believe that? If you believe that it was your place that he stood, it will move you to tears to see that because of my foolishness, the Son of God should suffer for me. It will move you to tears. But, oh, the darkness of human heart and the vanity of mind. Do you believe that if it was for your sin that he was shamefully crucified? Remember the centurion among the Roman soldiers. When he saw the clouds and earthquakes, he said, truly, this is the Son of God. He believed at the cross. I'm sure he was the head of those who took him to the cross. He said, truly, this is the Son of God. You see, if we should rethink of what Christ has done and focus our minds on it, the darkness will disappear from our minds and the vanity will run away, and then we'll have our sanity and we'll have God. But if you have never trusted in Christ, it is not late. You can. Come to him. Come, repentance. Come, tell him your sin. Tell him the sins that you cannot stop. Tell him the things that you,
that you think that is so heavy. There's nothing so heavy before God. Come and tell him. And God is willing to receive each one of us.
Christ is willing. His hands are ever open. When he died on the cross, it was you and I. It was for our sins. It was not for himself. Why should he die?
And yet, those of us whom he died for, we pass by unconcerned. It's a great surprise. It's an amazing thing to think of. But then, the vanity in our mind, the darkness in our heart, and Satan putting the flames on these things, causes people not to think, even a minute, of their sinfulness. May the Lord help each one of us. Life is short. Soon, each one of us, if Christ doesn't come, we will pass on. But let us be sure that our vanity has been taken away and our blindness has been taken away by the gospel, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and our life given to him. This is a life worth living for. And as I see normally, even before, they will see a life, the obituary on people. You see that, like old people, they say, a life well lived. A life well lived is a life when that person comes to that, he knew that his vanity has been cleared, his sins have been forgiven, that he's going to be with the Lord forever. That's the life well lived. But then that, live a million years, have all the possessions of this world, and be respected by all the world, it's a life fully lived. No matter how long you live in this world, in sin. May the Lord help us as we reflect on these things. Let's pray.